Hey, this is Adam White. I'm recording for you here in my basement in Niagara Falls, Ontario. And this is not a normal episode of the Punk News Podcast. This is one of our periodic specials where we bring on a cool band and we talk to them about what they have going on. Tonight, we're going to talk to Walmart, a band from Toronto. They spell their name W-L-M-R-T. Good luck trying to search for them on the internet because it is difficult for obvious reasons. But they have an EP coming out on November 16th. Titled Lube 2. It's going to be the band's third EP. It is 5 songs. It is their first for Pleasance Records out of Toronto, home of bands like Feel All Right and Man Made Hill and Jay Blissett. And in the label's words, it is a blast of passive-aggressive power violence, a quarter-life crisis which has never sounded so angst-inducing. They compare it to Teenage Jesus and the Jerks chugging cola with the Locust and Gorilla Toss. So I'll let you decide if that makes any sense to you, because I'm going to play a song from that record. It is called CUTV. Check it out, and I'll be back with the band in a minute. Hey, how are you doing?
Good. You?
I don't know. I'm surviving.
Surviving. Saturdays are for more than surviving.
Oh, my Saturday has been just full of exciting things like laundry and going to a meeting I didn't want to go to. So, you know, the usual.
Oh, we put laundry away, so kind of the same. Chores.
Sure. So, all right. So here we go. So I don't have a huge plan for what we're going to do. So let's talk for a little while. I mainly don't have a huge plan because, and this is really a question, I guess, is how seriously do you guys take yourselves?
I don't know. I don't think it's fun to be serious, but it's also really hard to be serious. It's really hard for you to be serious. I'm a quite serious person. All right. You're interviewing like the two best people to be interviewed together.
Well, I think it's a legitimate question for a band called Walmart to ask that, because how much forethought was there put in when you guys decided that was your name?
So we had a show before we actually like were a band, so we had 2 weeks to pull it together, and really it was the only thing that we all thought was funny enough to make it work and that we could agree on. And after practice, Ryan, we would go to Ryan's house, and he lived across from a Walmart, so we would get snacks.
Yeah.
And then, like, jerk off to the songs we recorded.
Not literally. Just clarify.
We were a new band. We were like, oh, man, look at us go.
Yeah, we wrote these songs sitting across from a Walmart.
So yeah.
Do you fear the Waltons? Do you fear one day that this is going to come back and bite you in the ass?
No. Yeah, other than it being like a dumb name.
Yeah, like there's been people who have talked about like, oh man, Walmart is going to sue you and it'll be the best thing that ever happens. Like, fuck off.
The last podcast asked that. So also the first question, Adam.
Oh, I didn't want to do that. Okay, so here's
No, don't say that. I'm just kidding. Nice. I'm just kidding. They're nice. I love them.
I also wasn't involved in that one. So it's new to me.
Well, it's the obvious question, right? Because whenever anyone comes across you for the first time, without even hearing you, that sort of sticks out as it either says that like this band aggressively doesn't give a shit, or this band is not really serious about what they're doing. And I don't really get that impression. I mean, maybe I get the don't give a shit impression, but that doesn't quite come across with what you guys are putting out either, because you don't seem like you're a joke band. And I guess that's a compliment. That's a weird compliment. Your music doesn't seem tossed off. It doesn't seem like something that you're just making for a laugh, even though a lot of the times, you know, the subject matter is funny. So is that just what comes out, or is there some balance? Is there something you're shooting for?
I think like, in terms of writing just the music itself, we do like care about the songs that we write. We do put quite a lot of thought into them. I'm actually sitting in front of Adam, who's just playing video games, another Adam who, you know, is quite a established musician and writes a lot of our stuff. But, you know, just it's not a hard thing to be in a band, and it's not a cool thing. So like, it's just kind of a compromise between, yeah, like we do care about the music that we write, but then Shelby takes her take on life and puts it over however she's feeling that time. So I don't know if you want to elaborate on that. You really set the tone. We just kind of write the music.
Yeah, the last thing we did is very serious. Well, the songs aren't that funny.
Really?
I think so. Well, yeah, I don't know. I tried a little bit harder this time.
Oh.
I think. What are the songs?
Think about it. We recorded it in February. It's really been a long time.
Yeah, fuck that. Never again.
Yeah,
fuck. Sitting on this for so long, it hurts. Don't like any of the songs anymore. No, that's not true.
Yeah, we do. We've been playing them for 2 years. Does that answer any question that you?
No, it does. I'm giving you space because I thought it was fascinating that your bandmates didn't realize that you were being more serious on the own songs that you sat down together and put together.
Well, we let Shelby do her thing, and she takes whatever approach that she wants with each song, and sometimes there's insight into it, and sometimes, you know, I don't even pry. It's just like, yeah, I like the words in the song, and I'll pick up some words here and there. I'll be like, Shelby, I want to sing these. Does that work? So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess some of them are serious, but some of them kind of aren't. Like, Beatle, shit, fuck.
Yeah.
So speaking of serious, you guys opened for a screening of SLC Punk.
Oh, yeah.
No one
really has seen that movie.
Yeah, that was the first thing I wanted to ask is that well, like I guess like had anyone, were you aware of that, and did you stick around and watch it?
Yeah, we watched it.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd seen it. Me, Ivy, and Kat, you had...
I saw it when I was 15 and I didn't like it because it was when I was getting into punk and I thought it was very corny. I didn't realize it was supposed to be
a comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd only seen SLC Punk 2, which was like a spectacular piece of shit, and I thought that it would be also a spectacular piece of shit, and it was. But it was a really cool show to be a part of, and Sarah Ty Black, who asked us to play, she's just a really cool person. And I don't think we'll never sound that good again. Like, playing through theater speakers was really a cool experience. But looking back on the juxtaposition of, or the context of playing before a movie like that, I don't know.
It was fun.
Yeah. Anarcho punks that came to see the movie hated us.
They're like,
I was really happy about it.
Yeah, it was funny.
I guess so. That's a good question. Is like, so and did like visible, you know, leather jacket, mohawk, and arco punks come to watch a screening of SLC Punk in a movie theater?
Yeah,
that's what Kat said too.
Like, yeah, anarcho punks who like SLC Punk, fuck you.
Because that was such a strange, fraught thing when I was a kid. Because I was probably. I was probably at the right age when that came. Like, I saw that movie a ton when I was a kid, and we were just at the right age that it totally seemed like what we should be listening to, because we were all getting into punk rock, and suddenly there was this dumb movie that came out that was, you know, kind of a comedy that was playing with a lot of that imagery and stuff like that. And at first it was like, oh, okay, this is a thing made for us. We should listen to it, or we should watch it. And then after a while, it kind of became like, we don't really want to admit that this is a thing that we've seen a bunch, because I don't know how well this reflects on our punk credentials to be super familiar with this.
Like, it's a coming of age thing, right? So if it got to you at the right time, I can see it being relevant. But then I guess, am I going to really do a dissertation about SLC punk right now?
You should.
I guess as you like grow older, you're kind of like the character, like, oh yeah, this is all just I'm just a kid.
The guy who showed me SLC punk also showed me Elliott Smith, and I don't like Elliott Smith either. But it might be just because of that person. So, I don't know. I haven't gone back.
I mean, I hope it's supposed to be a satire. I don't know. It's definitely not like a punk cred movie.
I remember the only way that we like maintained our cool composure when we were kids with this was at one point in the movie, there's a party. And it's supposed to be set in like the Reagan 80s, and there's a Suicide Machines song playing in the background. And we thought we were really, really smart, because we're like, this is an anachronism. This doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense there'd be a Suicide Machines song at this point. We're smarter than this movie. And that was the only way.
I had the same problem with the vinyl HBO series. They were playing a Dead Boys song in New York in 1977 when there wouldn't have been Dead Boys songs played at that time in that place.
What was playing on you guys played like on the stage in front of the screen, right? So
the screen actually got fucked up, by the way. We fucked up the screen.
We didn't
You shouldn't admit to that.
We literally didn't. I mean, the screen,
that's totally expensive.
The screen got fucked up after they tried to lower it once we got off stage.
They got caught on something.
Was that a weird performance though? Because like whenever I've seen you guys, the crowd is, there's not that much detachment between like where the people watching you are and the stage. I was just looking at like an Instagram video of you guys playing at the Royal there, and just by the nature of it being a movie theater, you don't have a bunch of people standing around you. Is that odd? Is that more vulnerable?
I think we're still trying to get comfortable with stages.
Yeah, we don't like stages. I mean, you and me personally don't.
Yeah, I'm like more comfortable now, but otherwise, like, yeah, and you couldn't see the crowd. It was just like all white,
which helped, I think.
Yeah, but everyone was sitting.
Yeah,
so that was weird.
We were like, as we got closer to the actual show, we were like, this is going to be very odd, and I'm going to be very anxious about it. But then all of our friends were there, and like Shelby's dad was there, so we just kind of had a lot of fun. And we actually played that show with Kira, Shelby's longtime best friend and roommate, instead of Ryan, because he was out of town. So that also added like a more, you know, novel element to it.
Shelby, what's your dad think of Walmart?
He came to the first show. He's always been really excited because he played music when he was younger, but I don't think he was in a band for a long time. And he texted me afterwards and said, I was once supporting my daughter's band, but now I'm a true fan.
That's all the endorsement you need. That could be an album sticker or something.
But no, he does like it. It's nice. He's a good
guy. Did he
go
after the SLC?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
nice. I was like, oh, I'm so glad you got to meet some of my friends you haven't met before. And he's like, I want you to meet all my friends. I was like, you have more than Kevin?
Aw, cool dad.
So you're doing an EP on Pleasance.
Yeah,
which means you've been working. We're working with Paul and
Jamie.
Jamie, God, I'm blanking on his name.
That's just James, not Jamie.
I call him Jamesy, Dr. Jamesy.
But my problem, problem is that Paul is the one that I keep seeing in real life, and I feel that James had a, I don't know, like did he have a kid, or there was something right,
yeah,
when
he had a kid.
Yeah, so right when I first started to sort of like go to shows where I would recognize Paul and meet him and see him, James wasn't around there. So I have no face value with him. Although I do love their podcast that they never record anymore.
I know. I was really into it. I'm pretty bummed out that they stopped doing it, but I guess it makes sense.
So
you know, with the kid and everything.
So how was working with Pleasance on this? Because your past two EPs you had put out on your own, and you had, you know, the splits and the four way split and the Death Sticks split. Or no, that was the four way. You had the four way split. You had a couple comp things you had done. But is this the first thing you've done like on a label, quote unquote?
Yeah, they said they were going to pay for the cassettes, and we were down, and then they said they were going to press it on vinyl, and they were extra down. So they, yeah.
I mean, overall, it's been pretty good because we got a 7-inch out of it that we probably wouldn't have done on our own just because of the limitations financially there with funding something like that. And like we got some cool coverage here and there because you know, the PR aspect of being on a label, the publicity aspect. So might not have got that organically. So it's overall been different from what we would have done, and I guess in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. And they're really, yeah, they just let us do whatever we want. I think that's like probably obvious. Like we made the music video ourselves and then found the art for the cover ourselves. Yeah, I don't know. It's chill. Pleasance is good.
Yeah, it's like the least, you know, we basically just get to do what we want still. So that's, I'm glad that they're letting us do that because I can understand that people might not like that from a business perspective all the time from what we do.
Well, not that I think that, like, you know, Pleasance is going to send, you know, a team of A&R people to come and tell you what to do. But there's definitely got to be like different hoops that you have to jump through when it's, you know, someone else's dime that's involved. And there's, you know, other expectations than just what you guys are putting together on it. So is where do you go from here then? Is this, do you keep doing short releases? Is it something where you want to record more? Is it, does Walmart work better in short form than doing a full album or something like that?
Maybe. I don't know. We kind of like just, I don't know. I think in the past we've just finished a certain amount of songs and then maybe we can put it on Bandcamp. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really care if we do a full length.
Yeah. I don't think we care.
It seems more nerve wracking. Like, all right, song order and like make sure. But I don't know.
But I mean, Luz just did it and they're our friends and they have had a really positive experience with it. But also we just like to write stuff and then record it and get it out there. Like we just get too excited and don't want to sit on things or like, you know, it's been really hard for us to sit on this for this long. So I think in the future, we wouldn't do a full release really just because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like write things, record, put them out, get a tape, whatever, ASAP. So.
Well, I guess that comes back to, I guess, where we started here, which is like, so how much do you care about trying to do a band the way that people expect, where, you know, oh, we're making a record and now we're going on tour and we're working with a label and all this kind of stuff? Because that doesn't seem, I mean, I don't want to tell you what your whole motivation is, but that really doesn't seem like your whole vibe.
Well, we told Paul to put us on Pitchfork.
Like Paul has the power to put you on Pitchfork.
He says, I know three people at Pitchfork.
Yeah, they interviewed one on the podcast.
He's
not lying.
Pitchfork reviewed Ketamine's record back in the day, so I don't know if he gets a freebie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe he gets a freebie because of the Ketamine's review. Like he can pass one to them that they actually have to look at.
Oh, like we don't think he actually has like you're doing this Pitchfork, but we just like to think that. Yeah. But
What did you say?
Yeah, what was the question?
Oh, I don't know.
Sorry, I know you didn't want this to devolve into nothing, you know, garbage, but...
No, that's okay, actually. This has been way more conventional than I thought it would be from an interview standpoint, because I was a little bit nervous at first that it was going to be...
We'd just be making fart noises or something?
You could be, or who knows? I mean, again, that's like the cool dichotomy here with what you guys are doing is... You know, it comes off a lot of the times as like sarcastic and flippant, but it can't be in actuality because you're actually making things and putting them out, and they're not just nonsense, right? So there's you project this you know, don't give a fuck sense. But, you know, there has to be more effort behind it than that. That's super interesting to me. But, you know, sometimes if you're if people are trying to maintain that level of weird, difficult mystique, you get interviews where it's just a bunch of nonsense.
if we actually did this interview and had to be a bunch of nonsense, then we would be trying very hard to not give a fuck. So I guess, like, we just kind of, I don't know, is this a horrible answer? We just, like, kind of do what we do. Like, we do care about the music that we put out in that, like, we have 100 unfinished songs that just didn't really make the cut, but we still like to do it. And I think the dichotomy of, like, Shelby's take on life and, like, your kind of, like, observations and things that get put into the lyrical content of the song, which ultimately set the tone, have a bit of, like, a dissonance with, you know, the music that we make that we do, you know, quite care about. And I think the package is quite nice. I mean, we always do ask ourselves, like, you know, is this like what we want to do? Is this weird enough? Like, what does the song sound like? Is it too conventional? Should we do something easy this time? Like, so we do try to challenge ourselves and go in a weird direction. But in terms of like press and what people think about us and like what we're going to wear on stage and like who we play on a bill with, it's like, oh, that all that other stuff is just like, you know, tertiary and extraneous, and we don't really care about that stuff.
Yeah, and I could imagine that you could take a more conventional punk band, say, and offer them the gig of, you know, do you want to play before a screening of SLC Punk? And they'd probably say no because they'd be worried about cred, right? They'd be worried, ooh, how's that going to reflect on us? That's not going to make us, you know, that's not going to project whatever we're trying to project about, you know, how much of a cool guy band we are. But, you know.
But then those same fucking punks showed up to watch the movie, so.
I guess maybe I'm not quite in tune with that scene anymore. I don't know. So what are you guys listening to? We mentioned Luge for a second. Like, that record is great.
A lot of us went to the release show last week. Big fans of them always. I'm really bad at only listening to things that are local, so like things that you cover basically. I don't listen to many international bands anymore. I really like Lillum. I think they're probably like one of my favorites right now. Shelby,
what have I been listening to?
And podcasts.
I don't know. It sucks. We have Spotify at one of my jobs, and I just kind of listen to the same things over and over again. And when I get home, I don't really listen to too much music. I hate music. I don't listen to podcasts that much.
Me.
Yeah, Kat listens to podcasts. I don't even watch movies anymore.
Shelby, don't admit this.
No, I watched Happy Death Day the other night. That's great.
I don't know.
She like wakes up. And every day it's her last day on Earth.
Oh, I like it.
She's got to figure out. It's like a goofy horror movie. What to do. Pretty corny. It's really bad.
So you're saying you don't listen to music, but you watch movies. Sometimes.
But I said I didn't watch movies.
Listening to music is incredibly time consuming sometimes. So that makes sense.
I have a desk job. I should really just listen, but I just listen to podcasts instead.
You know, I found that I do the same thing, and there's music writers that I know that think it's crazy that I'll be driving around listening to, like, hours of podcasts, and, I'm all stressed out because I'm behind on a bunch of them, and they're just stacking up on my phone. But yeah, it's a strange thing now to have that, like, as an available option, and a lot of the times, you know, I don't find that I'm listening to music in the same way that that I did back in like the iPod era. Like, I don't really care too much about having like all these songs floating around with me anymore.
Yeah, it's like that. You kind of lose the sense of ownership when everything is being like streamable and lives in a cloud. Like, you don't have that same sense of pride. This is my music collection, so I guess you don't have as much impetus to listen to it anymore. Oh, why did I say that? But yeah.
So what's the plan when for this once this EP comes out? Or are you hitting the road? Are you gonna play more shows? Are you gonna do any of the proper support stuff? Or
yeah, I think at the end of January we're like starting to organize a little like tour, as in we just go away on the weekends. So Ottawa and Montreal are looking good right now. KW would be fun. Guelph, St. Catharines. I just wrote down a bunch of cities not far from here. And
yeah, like a southwestern Ontario / Montreal, like, weekend tour.
I want to say it's not too hard at the moment, because it seems like we have friends or have, like, played with people in different cities. And I don't know, there's, like, a lot of bands out there. But,
And we're releasing this at Long Winter.
And releasing it at Long Winter.
Next Friday,
when the record comes out.
Paul would really want to say that.
Long Winter. Which is cool. I used to go to Long Winter when it first started.
Yeah, we've been trying to play Long Winter for, like, 2 years.
And it's, like, it's really nice. Yeah, it was a teen. And now I'm not a teen. Long Winter's nice. It's good.
Full circle.
Good thing.
Now, see, because you're plugging that now, this forces me to actually have to get this thing published prior to, like, a month from now. But that's okay. That was, I'm sure Paul wants me to.
We played Long Winter. It was fantastic. They gave us snacks.
Oh, yeah. We'll pretend that it already happened, so you don't have the same time constraints. Yeah, it was great. Really great experience. Love those people.
I want to circle back to this, even though I'm sure you've been asked it 100 times, but what do you do when Walmart comes calling? Is there a plan? Do you have like something behind glass that's like, you know, if lawyers appear, break glass?
Wait, if actual Walmart comes calling?
Yeah.
Oh, well, if they give us a cease and desist, I guess it'll just be an excuse to finally change your fucking band name.
What do you want us to change it to, Adam?
Yeah. Do you have any ideas?
No, I'm bad at that. I'm really bad at naming things. Naming things
obviously
is not...
we are too.
Well, that's true. One of your friends there in Death Sticks, Matt just started a little label, and at one point he reached out to me and he was like, "Hey, what should we call our label?" And I gave him a suggestion, and he never responded with "That is a good or bad idea," but they never used it. Friendship start, because you guys have done a whole bunch of stuff together, or at least you seem to be on the same things all the time.
I had, like, years ago, I met Matt, I guess, through some Oshawa friends, and I would have seen one of his bands play at Crap, a place in Oshawa doesn't exist anymore, and I think I just kind of saw him around at shows, and then he eventually asked if we wanted to play with Death Sticks in Peterborough.
Yeah. People.
And I was like, "Hi, Matt Post." and said, hey. and then, I don't know, I guess we became, like, little online friends, because they are, like, really active with being jokey on the internet. So we kind of got stuck with that. No, I don't know.
But it's from outside of these two bands.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, like... Yeah, boyfriend.
And, like, didn't Ryan know him from Oshawa?
Yeah. Ryan knows him from way back, too. I guess, like, not a decade, but... Yeah. The Oshawa music scene. There we go.
Yeah,
music.
There's a...
music.
Short answer. And then, yeah, we just get along with them because they're funny and weird. So
yeah.
We like that.
I like them a lot.
Because I look at them and say, you guys and Luge, and I see they're... there's nothing that say like sonically this ties you all together, but you all seem to be, you know, on the same circuit. You're showing up on the same.
I don't know how did we become friends with Luge? How did you guys become friends with Luge?
I guess Steven, who I date, we used to be roommates with Cam from Luge. And then I think we liked them and then like went to their shows and eventually started talking to them a little bit more. Probably Toby. Yeah. Toby.
I guess it's a circuit just because we know each other.
Yeah.
It's kind of like by accident or nothing like.
Well,
nothing brought us together other than we know the same people.
you all like fall into this like really ill-defined. Like, I don't know what to call it. I love seeing genre descriptions of what you guys are when you're playing a festival or something. And like, I think, because I think like someone, I read one earlier where they called you like silly punk. And I was like, that's not great. That's not a good descriptor.
Hashtag melt banana.
More than that, I love when people try to say, you sound like this. And it's always different and it's never right.
I was really interested to see the album description that Pleasance had to write that went up with you in the bands that they were referencing to promote Lube 2, because they did name drop four or five bands in there, and I was like wow,
yeah.
Kudos, okay, you did it, because I mean whenever I've written about you, I've purposefully avoided trying to even bother.
No, I like it when you talk about us.
Yeah, it's more interesting, and I guess it's like, it's easier to say they sound like a little bit of this and a little bit of this, and hard to just actually describe it in words and thoughts. So, you know, we appreciate that.
So
rather than being, oh, we sound like some bands that they played with before.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. So I don't know. What anything else? Anything you particularly want to say? I mean, one of you is really interested in being on a podcast, so I guess I can use this for the podcast. So, is there any? I know, do you have any like real crime? Like, what's popular from a podcast standpoint at this point?
Oh, I'm not involved in any true crimes at the moment, but stay tuned. Shelby just ran away. What are you doing?
All right, you've been listening to Walmart. If you want to find more about them, you could visit PleasanceRecords.com, PLEASENCERECORDS.com, or you can find them on Bandcamp at WLMRT.bandcamp.com. If you want to write us an email, it's podcast@punknews.org. That's how you do that. If you're interested in hearing more about the kinds of bands that have been on tonight's show, you heard Walmart, you heard a little clip from Luge, and you heard a little clip from Deathsticks. This is the kind of stuff that I talk about on a Canadian music newsletter that I publish weekly, which is called Some Party, and you can find that at someparty, SOMEPARTY.ca. You should go subscribe because it would make me feel good about myself.